Good evening. It's a privilege to be able to share this evening. I'd like to start out with asking a question. For 2015, do you have a cause? Do you have a vision for what God wants you to do? In 1 Samuel 17:29, there's a story we're all very familiar with about David slaying Goliath. It says, and David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? What is your cause? Are you fighting for a cause? We all are fighting for a cause. But what is your cause? Is your cause to glorify God? Is your cause rooted down deep in your soul and in your heart? And is it a burning desire to live a life that is pleasing to the Lord? Or is it just to go to church, be a member, take communion, pay tithes, look all right, and not really worry about your heart? In Matthew 23, starting in verse 27, Jesus it says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are likened to whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but within full of dead men's bones, and are of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. So, if all you're worried about is getting men's applause, if all you're worried about is being like one of these Pharisees who have long prayers and fast, but let everybody know they're fasting, if all you're worried about is making people think you're a Christian, then you're a whited sepulcher.
That's right.
You're full of dead men's bones. You're not born again.
Amen.
In Revelation chapter 3, starting in verse 14, says, and unto the angels of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou art cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increaseth goods and have eaten nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Are you lukewarm? Are you content with the way you were in 2014? Do you think that you are good enough? Do you feel that you're doing pretty good? You're good enough a Christian, and you know you're in your comfort zone. You don't want to grow anymore because the light God showed on your path last was not something you really wanted to change, and so you're just going to kind of, you think you look good enough, and you're just going to stay where you are. If that's where you are, then you're like the Laodiceans.
Right.
You are spiritually dead.
Yes.
Unless you have a cause, unless you have a vision, unless you are crying out to God and getting hold of God and asking Him to give you a vision for 2015, to show you what He wants you to do, unless you are striving to live up to the life He has shown to you, then you're spiritually dead. And like these Laodiceans, it says, I know it's not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. In the eyes of God, that's the description of you. Unless you are on fire for the Lord. And on down to verse 21, it says, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in His throne. And thus you are digging into the Word, not just reading so many chapters a day and just thinking that's going to cut it. And thus you are truly seeking after God with all your heart, you're not going to be an overcomer.
Right.
It says they strive to enter in. It says that the righteous shall scarcely be saved. How should the ungodly and sinner appear?
Right.
And we look at different righteous characters in the Old Testament, and we think, well, I'll never be quite that good. Look at Abraham, look at Noah, look at Job, look at Daniel. And if those are the righteous, and they're scarcely going to be saved,
come on,
how are you going to appear?
Yeah.
You can't just compare yourselves among yourselves.
Right.
You have to have a cause and a vision. And 1 Samuel 14:6 says, and Jonathan said to the young man that bears his armor, come, let us go over into the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be the Lord will work for us. For there is no strength to the Lord to save by many or by few. And his arm bearer said unto him, draw it as in thine heart. Turn thee. Behold, I am with thee according to thy heart. Then said Jonathan, behold, we will pass over unto these men, and we will discover ourselves unto them. And if they say thus unto us, tarry until we come to you, then we will stand still in our place, and we will not go up unto them. But if they say thus, come up unto us, then we will go up. For the Lord hath delivered them into our hand, and this shall be a sign unto us. And both of them discovered themselves unto the garrison of the Philistines, and the Philistines said, behold, the Hebrews come forth out of the holes where they had hid themselves. And the men of the garrison answered Jonathan his armor bearer, and said, come up to us, and we will show you a thing. And Jonathan said unto his armor bearer, come up after me, for the Lord hath delivered them into the hand of Israel. And Jonathan climbed up upon his hands and upon his feet, and his arm bearer after him. And they fell before Jonathan, and his arm bearer slew after him. And that first slaughter which Jonathan and his arm bearer made was about 20 men, within as it were a half acre of land, which a note of oxen might plow. Jonathan had a cause. He's willing to risk his life to save the people of God. He's willing to put his neck on the line. And his father was saying, I believe it was last Sunday, talking about and reading in Nehemiah, and said, and the nobles put out their necks to the work. Is that going to be God's commentary on you someday? Are you going to have a cause and a vision? Are you going to realize there's something more important than your own comfort and your own safety?
Come on.
He was not, Jonathan was not seeking the applause of men. He had a vision. He realized that God had a big picture and he was a small part. And that just because it is only him and his armor bearer, it says, it may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save our many or our few. He realized that he was just an instrument, that the Lord was the one providing the victory. And down in verse 10 it says, but if they say unto us, come up unto us, then we will go up, for the Lord hath delivered them into our hand. If you are doing what you're doing to look good, like the Pharisees, then you're, like I said, you're full of dead men's bones, and you need to get your heart right and get born again.
Yeah, yeah.
Unless you are doing what you know to do is right, because you know it's right, to glorify the Lord, then you need to change. Like the Laodiceans. In Matthew 14:22, says, straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed its waves. The wind was contrary. And the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And Peter was come down out of the ship. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And as they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came, worshiping, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. So we see here that Peter lost his vision of what he was supposed to do. He was supposed to be going to Jesus. But he transferred his focus from Jesus to the waves.
Right.
He transferred his focus from what he was supposed to be doing, what God wanted of him, to the obstacles that are trying to obstruct his path.
Yeah.
And if all we can look at is what the devil is trying to do to stop us, we need to be aware that the devil is out there, that he has temptations, he has snares for us. But if we focus on the devil's tactics for our destruction, then we're gonna sink.
Yeah.
We have to focus on what God wants us to do.
Yes.
And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. That's also another thing. If he hadn't moved his focus, he would have never started thinking. But if you find yourself thinking, you need to cry, Lord, save me.
Yeah.
You need to do all that is in your power to put up safeguards so it'll never happen again.
Yes.
And we see that later in Peter's life, he had a similar but more traumatic experience when he heard the cock crow and he went out and wept bitterly. What do you do when you realize you failed? You cry, Lord, save me, and you go out and weep bitterly? Or you say, I'll try to do better next time.
Come on.
Do you care?
Yeah.
Does it mean something to you?
Good.
If you don't have a vision and a cause, if it doesn't make you go out and weep bitterly when you realize you failed your Lord, then you're not repentant.
That's right.
Right, man.
You're not born again. You need to ask God to change your life. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32, it is speaking about the faith of Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and different ones. And it says in verse 32, And what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah and of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith can do kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the mouths of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, were slain with the sword, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world is not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. You see, it says here, now, just because you have faith doesn't mean you're going to be stopping the lions. Doesn't mean you're going to be trying to fly all the armies of the aliens, even though you will turn to fly the devil's tactics against your soul. But all these things here doesn't mean just because you're going to have faith, you're going to walk on the water. You see, it says they walk righteousness.
Right.
If you have faith, and you have a true, if you're born again, then you're going to bring forth the fruit of righteousness.
Right. Amen.
If you're not bringing forth the fruit of righteousness, then you're full of dead men's bones. You're white as sepulchers. You're like the Laodiceans. And God's going to spew you out of His mouth. I'm talking to myself this evening, unless I'm talking to anybody else. But I like to challenge I'd like to challenge us to make sure that our cause is the same cause as these saints here who are willing to give their lives for what they need to be true. To be willing to do whatever God wants you to do.
Amen.
To have a vision for 2015. Not just think, well, life can go on the way it always has been. I've been living just fine and I'll keep going that way. If Jesus Christ comes back in 2015, will you be ready? And you can say, even so come, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
But unless you've been living a life, unless you're like one of these saints in here who wrought righteousness, you're going to be like one of those ones that Jesus said, and say, Lord, Lord, have I not done many things by name, and I cast out devils? Have I not done many wonderful works? And you can say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you work iniquity. Unless you are in the Word, unless you're doing all that is in your power to do what you know to be right, if you don't put up those guards of protection when you see that there's a weak spot, if you don't get in the Word and truly read, not just get to know what the words say, but truly get a meaning out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Unless the Word is alive to you, unless you can truly not just pray, just mouthing these words, but unless you can get a hold of God, then you need to make sure that you're born again.
Right.
Because someday, that's going to be evident. Someday, the Lord will come back. And when you stand before the great white throne, you'll know whether you're ready.
Yes.
But it'll be too late.
Yes. Right.
Now is the time.
Right.
If you're not sure, then go to measure so you will be sure.
Yes.
And make sure that even if you're not getting the dead raised to life, and if you're not being sawn asunder, you know, we don't know what our future holds.
Right.
We don't know, but if someday we will be these ones being stoned, being slain with the sword, wandering about, running for our lives, we don't know what God has for us. Unless we prepare now, we're not going to be ready. So I just want to challenge us to have a vision for 2015.
Yes.
If you don't know what God wants you to do, then ask Him.
Amen.
Get on your knees and cry out to God and ask Him for a work that He wants you to do in 2015. Get in the Word and see what the different ones that He called righteous, what they did with their time. Daniel, Noah, Job, Abraham. What did Daniel do 3 times a day? He prayed. Now, that doesn't mean you just need to do it 3 times a day. You need to have a walk with the Lord, and I'm sure Daniel did, but not just praying. Like I said earlier, you need to get a hold of God.
Yes.
I don't mean just saying some prayer that some person made up, or just going through the motions. Or you'd be like these Laodiceans. From what I understood, they were doing everything right, but their heart wasn't in it. Unless your heart is in it, you're not ready with the Lord. And I'd like to leave this with you, and I need as much as anybody else. And I'm saying this because I love each and every one here. And someday, when you're standing before the Lord, the most important thing is that you're ready.
Right. That's right.
Well, people thought, if they thought they were ready, knew you were ready, that's going to be this big at that moment.
Yeah, that's right.
You're not going to care what people think. You're going to care what God thinks.
Right.
And now is the time to get it right.
Amen.
So, thanks for your time.
Amen.